It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM all over this great state of Michigan. Appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Back in the chair, Bob. It's been a couple weeks since we did this together. I've been playing. You were out. We were just kind of like mismatching here, but it's good to be back in the chair. So how you doing, brother?
Welcome back, bro. Yeah, just trying to enjoy this spring. It's here a little bit, gone a little bit. Yep. I think next week it might be gone a little bit, and then it'll be back. And right. That's welcome to Michigan.
Yeah, right, in the spring, exactly.
Well, why are we always surprised when we, some of the people have already planted their gardens. I think that might have been a bit premature.
A little aggressive.
We'll find out.
Right.
If you don't have a greenhouse, my neighbor builds a beautiful greenhouse. Of course, he's got a degree from Michigan State. He worked in the greenhouse business his whole life, so he's like putting me to shame, but he's giving me a bunch of starts. He said, don't try starting any tomatoes, this and that. He said, I got three times what I need. It's like,
oh, that's
great.
Cool. Yeah, well, who's your buddy? Who's your pal? My wife was going to go out to the greenhouse and buy all that stuff, she said. But, I mean, that's typical this time of year that it's a lot of work. Tomatoes are what? You get boatloads of them, but you don't get them until, like, August.
Yeah.
Right? So between now and then, you got to buy tomatoes, and then you got too many. And for me, it's kind of a weird equation. Plus, you got to like to do it.
We had got lucky last year, and they staged quite nicely. But at the end, there's a whole bunch of ripe ones and overripe ones. And, of course, I like to roast them in the smoker and then freeze them.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just about – and funny, the theme of the show today is clean out the freezer because I don't know. Maybe it's because Michigan's thawing. It just made me think about my freezer, and I got another cow coming in, and – you know, you want to get all that food out of the freezer. There's no venison in mine this year, so it wasn't like I have to get rid of any venison.
Yeah, the reason I was gone last week is I went down to...
We talked to you. Yeah, right. You were actually on the lake.
Yep, and you know what? That probably sounded staged. It absolutely was not. I swear on my mother's grave, I had been out there fishing for an hour and a half already when you called at 8:30, and I had caught one fish. And I caught two while we were on this, 5 minutes, 7 minutes of a discussion on the phone. It slammed me twice.
It reminded me of when Rob Russell was killing the hog on the show. Were you on the show back
no,
then?
Uh-uh.
Oh, well, he called in from Tony's place up in Minnesota. They were wild boar hunting.
Oh, yeah.
And you could hear the bow and you could hear the grunting, and it was probably, I'm sure our producer at that network was freaking out because you're actually slaughtering an animal. Well, the truth came out years later before Rob passed, and Tony had this bulldog named Butch.
Oh.
And they staged the whole thing, and if you tried taking that bone from Butch, he would do this. The whole thing was it was staged.
Yeah.
And Rob really got me good on that.
Yep.
So we're all beer lovers, and this last week we witnessed the death of like one of the largest brands of beer in the world. And that's the beloved, and I don't love it, but Bud Light decided to do a marketing campaign. I think that marketing guy did not have his WWJD bracelet
right,
on because putting a man in a bra in your commercials is not what Jesus would do.
Right.
He would tell you to drink wine for one thing.
Right.
But what do you think of that? Did you see all this? They absolutely destroyed. I mean, if I was a stockholder in AB Anheuser-Busch, I would be furious.
Well, first of all, for me, when you're mixing political views with business,
beer,
it very, very rarely works.
It's happening all
and
the time
because
now.
There's, and I understand, but whether side of that issue you're on, I don't care. That's your personal opinion. But when you mix the two, I guarantee you're going to piss off somebody. And if you like drinking beer, You know, our friend Kid Rock. You saw what he did.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, he takes a bunch of cases of that and blows it up with his gun. Now I'm sure all the gun rights people are going to be upset with that too. But my point is there's some strong opinions on either side of that issue. Whatever yours is, that's fine by me. But at the end of the day, it's just
when you tie it
hugely
to your brand,
bad strategy.
We've seen companies doing stuff like this lately, though, where they want to come down with some woke agenda. And Trump says, if you go woke, you go broke. He's not wrong. These companies that are trying to push this woke stuff are killing their brands.
Yeah, I think we're witnessing it right now.
And I'm okay with it. I mean, if that's what you want to do to your brand, you own it. Fortunately, I don't have stock in Anheuser-Busch. Never have.
Right.
Never would.
I mean, I've drank my share of Bud Light, right? I got friends that's their favorite beer, and
was.
It probably didn't change it. I don't know. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's just, to me, I just shook my head and I move on. There's bigger things in my world than that. But
financial analysts are saying 2 to 3 billion in brand value is what they gave away.
Sure.
2 to 3 billion. And then 1 week, they lost 600 million in sales.
Yeah. Right. Well, there you are.
That's a lot of dough.
Right. That's the divisiveness of an issue like that, the ramifications thereof.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think we're all getting a little bit tired of seeing men with that stuff going on. It's mental illness, and they're celebrating it. I smoked a Sanders ham. I dropped off your Dutch loaf while you were
right. Yeah, gone. While I was fishing, you swung by and put it in my freezer. So I've not tried any yet. Dang it! But when I got back from walleye fishing, I vac sealed my 48 fillets, which is wonderful, and we'll have those all year. I still had 4 packs left, but I was putting it all in the chest freezer. We're talking about emptying out the freezer. I filled it with fish, but I saw it in there,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
that's a
man.
Big chunk.
It is.
Of...
I mean, it got to be like 5 pounds of it or something that they
said.
But I was like, oh, it's frozen already because now I got to thaw the whole thing out to try it.
Well,
but...
she asked if I wanted one, and I, for one thing, I'm not a lunch meat guy at all. I don't eat sandwiches much. And number two, I'd never had it, so I didn't want her to waste her, you know, gift. And I said, you know, I don't know about that. And she says, well, how about a ham? And I had just smoked one 6 months earlier from Christmas. And I said, yeah, that would be awesome. So Easter morning, I threw that beautiful Sanders ham on the smoker, and I put orange and pineapple juice on it. I scored it, and I kept basting it. And I'll tell you what, that thing was thick. It took me until right before we left for my son's house for Easter to get that thing to temp.
Did you cover it or was it open?
No, smoked it.
Okay, you're on a smoker.
Oh, my
gosh. So by basting it, you kept it from drying out.
Yeah, it was so juicy, dude.
Yep.
And
it was not spiral cut. It was just a
oh, yeah. It was a regular, what you call a regular. And my daughter-in-law made a rack of lamb. You would have loved it.
Oh, yeah.
I've got pictures of Jordan carving a rack of lamb at his dining room table. I mean,
yeah.
For a dad and a grilling guy,
yeah.
He just doesn't get
any
better.
And he grilled
than that.
The lamb?
No, she roasted it.
Oh, okay.
But I took home a bunch of leftovers and I made lamb stew with it.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, is it good?
Right.
My wife even loved it.
Right.
And she's scared of things that aren't just in her wheelhouse.
Right. Yeah. Lamb's not one of them. I tell you what, lamb chops are one of my favorite things to make on the grill.
They were beautiful.
And we marinate them overnight in little garlic oil, rosemary, and thyme, and just leave that in there overnight. And you take
I think
them out.
I like those better than the rack.
Well,
to be honest, it's
kind of the same thing. They're just cut up evenly.
It is, but I love the flashing them on the grill and getting some grill marks.
Right.
And then a little bit of that savory flavor on each chop that
right.
you don't get when you roast it. It's
right.
different.
Right.
It's still good, but it's different.
Yep.
Anyway, I wanted to give a shout out to West Michigan Sawmill. I went and picked up my logs this week, and this beautiful tattoo on my leg is from the cable on my gator grabbing me. I had to pull a whole bunk of cherry off my trailer onto a skid for storage, and the cable got me.
Snapped.
But West Michigan Sawmill, it's on the Clarksville exit on 96. If you have trees you want cut, These guys are awesome. I've been going there for years.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to jump in your freezer, see what's left over, pull some out, and put her on the grill. Stick with us. Yeah. We'll be back.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stay.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke.
Welcome back. It is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking about jumping into your freezer and looking around.
Hey, where'd she come from?
Right, yeah, 80-degree weather. It's one of the coolest places in your house. No, Bob and I both have chest freezers. And I tell you what, this was what we did about 3 weeks ago, is I have a problem. It's just Lisa and I. You feed a lot more people, Bob, than I do. But it's generally just Lisa and I. Maybe the kids will come over once every 3-4 weeks. But I end up buying stuff in bulk and vac sealing it and putting it in there, and it starts to stack up.
Yeah.
And you lose that bottom half that you can't see. You don't know what's in there anymore.
Right. And that's why, Stan, you'll have to be corrected here. I do not have a chest freezer. Oh. I have an upright.
Okay.
And mine's old school, so it's not self-defrosting. I really don't get freezer burn. One of the things I wanted to talk about was freezer burn, because sometimes there's so much food in mine that one of the kids or my wife or me will not know that the door didn't shut well. And after 2 or 3 days, there's this giant snow. It looks like a blizzard hit it. The door was left open a little bit.
Right.
That's what happens if you fill it too much. Yeah. And I'm a glutton, so I fill it too much.
Yep.
I need to throw things away more.
So we got organized, and it's actually working out pretty good. I'm only 3 weeks in, but we went out there and took everything out of the chest freezer, and mine I don't think is auto defrosting either, because it gets frost if you, again, same thing. But we did an inventory. I got 3 or 4 coolers out, and it was only out of there, all the stuff was only out of there maybe 10 minutes, right? We dumped it all out and then organized it by protein type and then put it all back in. And but we kept a spreadsheet of it, and we stuck it on the refrigerator, and we're just checking stuff off as we take it out, and as we buy more, we're adding it on.
I think if you could get some cool drop-in racks that went about halfway down that kind of cradled it.
Yeah.
That went in there so you could pull some of it out to see what's in the bottom. It'd be a lot easier.
Right.
Because midsummer, you're trying to find those loin you have.
Right.
And after 5 minutes, you can't feel your fingers because you're pulling frozen meat out.
Right.
Anyway, so what happens to a lot of people is they have frost-free freezers. And what that does is the freezer actually warms up and melts the frost off the side of the freezer and then refreezes, and it drains and goes down into that pan under your freezer or refrigerator or both. And that's why you get that skunky water down there over time that looks disgusting. Well, if you pull out a piece of meat and you've got freezer damage, a lot of times people will just chuck it. But I would tell you that you can thaw it and take a look at it and take a nice, sharp, thin-bladed knife and carve that face of that muscle off and take a look at the protein below it, because it might be just absolutely perfect. Chances are it is.
Right.
But if you do that, defrost
thing is just affects the surface.
Yeah, it's just the surface. But if you do that and it's going deeper than you think, still don't throw it away if you have dogs.
Right.
They won't notice the funky taste, okay?
Right.
They eat puppy poop. Right. So what do they know about freezer burn on beautiful ground beef?
Yeah, I'll share that with you. I had a buddy once that talked me into buying a quarter of a cow. So he gets the whole cow at his house, and he divides it up between himself and three other guys. I'm one of those three guys. Well, I happen to be the last guy that got to
pick mine
up. Let
me guess, you got too much liver?
Yeah.
How about
right,
that?
Yeah. So I ended up with all the liver from the entire beef, I
but
think.
But didn't your dogs love it?
They did.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with that, is I froze it. It's beef liver. Not my favorite cut.
Just for the record, I did not sort out the liver. He's going to cry about it.
Then this cow had a 60-pound liver because I got 15 pounds of it.
It will be part of your eulogy, Randy. I will deliver it. Because I know I'm outliving you by at least 10
largest
years.
Liver in a bovine on earth.
You know, maybe they should come up with a foie gras for beef.
Yeah.
You ever had foie gras?
I got foie gras, all right.
You ever had foie
gras? But we handled it.
Have you ever had it?
What?
Foie gras?
Yeah, isn't that goose liver?
Yeah, it's inflated.
Right.
They gorge the thing.
Yeah.
And then...
No, I've not had that either. I'm not a liver guy.
I know,
the dogs ate it well, though, to the point to bring it back, yeah.
When you're at a $300 or $400 a plate restaurant in Vegas or some fancy town where people take you out to exorbitant dinners, they're going to offer that, and you're going to eat it because it's cool.
I'd try it. I mean, I try anything, but it's just one of those. Well,
so how long is meat safe in your freezer? What do you think?
I'm going to say, you know, we'll ask. We got Tim Sobey coming up in the next segment, and I'm going to ask him that question. But I'm saying maybe a year to 18 months.
I'll tell you what I learned in this food class I had to take for my catering license.
Yep.
In that, if your freezer is not like minus 72 degrees, your meat is still growing bacteria.
Really?
I was shocked. I'm like, you're kidding me. I can think of 2-year-old meat I've eaten.
Yeah.
But I probably cooked it more thoroughly. But yeah, so it's not like wine. And even wine will go bad if you're not rotating it. It'll go bad anyway.
Right.
But it's not like wine. You can't just make it better by aging it in the freezer. That's a different way to age it than what maybe you would do with an aging machine like you have. So how long is it safe? I'm going to tell you, if it's coming up on the 1-year mark, you should get your dog ready for a great week.
Yeah. You know, so if that's the case, then for me to buy a quarter beef, and it's really just Lisa and I about 85% of the time, I can't do it. I got to go to my man Sobey and buy it fresh.
Yep.
And eat it as we need it, kind of thing. And that's better for me. We just don't have that kind of volume.
Well, imagine the meat I go through if I get all that meat from Sobey and still have a quarter.
Yeah. Right.
That's how much meat we go through.
Right.
But the place you've been there, it's like a bed and breakfast. We're constantly feeding people.
Right. Yep. But that's cool. I mean, the people are happy when they eat. That's why we do this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of cool. Speaking of that, had a little catering event this week. And it was cool because it was a bank hosting a bunch of their potential customers, builders, you know, that refer people in.
The bank we run our business to.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep. And we can say it. You know, it's Old National Bank. They're good people. But anyway, I catered a little get-together for them on Thursday night. They wanted everything on a skewer because it was a walk-around type thing, right? They didn't want to sit down. It was just a casual couple-hour thing. But it was cool because I made bacon-wrapped shrimp, but you had to pre-cook the bacon. And then I did a shrimp wrapped in bacon, a piece of pineapple, a shrimp wrapped in bacon, and I pre-cooked. Yeah, I didn't pee on anything. I pre-cooked the bacon to about 75% done so that when you put it on the grill, it didn't overcook. And then I basted it in a Hawaiian sauce, just pineapple and
finish off with the glaze.
And I did those chicken kebabs and beef kebabs, and the shrimp were by far the best one to do. But I just wanted to throw that out there because the shrimp were frozen and they came from my freezer, but they were only in there like a month before I used them. But
freeze seafood like that, they use flash freezers.
Uh-huh.
You know, that just like the fruits. If you look at southwestern Michigan, there are some giant producers down there that do blueberries, corn, all sorts of stuff. And they have these giant blast freezers. And that stuff goes in there with like super cold temperature, and it freezes like in seconds.
Yeah.
And that's how you make it nice.
Right. Yep. And it was. Everything was fun. But anyway, coming up next, we've got our board of director member, Mr. Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats in Remembrance Drive in Grand Rapids. And he's going to join us and talk a little bit about stuff in your freezer and how he would prepare it when it comes out. So you're not going to want to miss this. This guy is a wealth of knowledge about proteins, and we're going to have him as our guest. Stick
and
with us.
And he's funny.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guys rig, hit the brakes. It's going
to
be
great. Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. We are twisting up a lot of stuff today. We're talking about maybe jumping in your freezer, looking around, what's been in there that needs to come out and cook it. Right, Bob?
That's right. We also want to mention WJIM in Lansing and WBRN FM in Big Rapids, a couple of our other stations, of course, that we love dearly.
Absolutely.
And hit the grillinguys.com. Check out all our sponsors there. You'll find a link to Sobey Meats. You'll find a link to MyPilla, Garrett's Appliance, Alan Bob's, Old World Olive Company. All these places are at thegrillinguys.com as well as our podcast. You get the show for free in case you miss us on Saturday morning.
Right. But now on the live line, we have the master of meat. It is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning and happy Saturday.
Yes, absolutely. It is a great one. I'm sure this twist in the weather has filled the shop with people that want to get out and put some great meat on their grill.
Oh, about doggone time in Michigan, right?
Yeah, I tell you, man.
Well, I think we got lucky in getting this in April. It's kind of nice. I know it won't last too long, but it'll be back.
Yeah, we got plenty of time to get the grills fired up all weekend long before the snow hits again, right?
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, for a lot of us just grill all through the winter, so we don't necessarily know what that means.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So we're talking about frozen meat and, you know, how long you can keep it in the freezer and what's safe, what's smart. What would you recommend in terms of people? I hit Sobey's, I hit your sales, and I buy, like, tons of chicken and all this stuff, and I throw it in the freezer when it's on sale.
Yeah.
Because I'm cheap. So how long should I keep that stuff?
We've kind of talked about this a little bit. So there's two different freezers. Your refrigerator freezer, everything takes a pounding in there because they're frostless, so they're going to thaw, freeze. So fresh meats in your refrigerator freezer, boy, if you're getting 6 months old, you're going to want to try to use that up. And as I tell people, you ever notice that your ice cream gets real gummy?
Yeah.
That's because it thaws, refreezes, and it turns into that gummy stuff. In a deep freeze, where that's all they do is they freeze and stay frozen, fresh meats, you got about a year. Smoked meats, three to 6 months.
What's the difference there, Tim? Because I've never heard that before. One is cooked and one is raw?
As far as the smoked meat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the smoked meats will lose their flavor a lot quicker.
Okay.
So if you had bacon or smoked pork chops or something like that, if it was the same time frame in a deep freeze even, it's going to lose a lot more flavor a lot quicker because of that process.
Interesting. That's the first time I've ever heard that. But I always smoke stuff and eat it right away. And if there's a little left over, you know, it generally doesn't hit the freezer. It goes into fresh, and we eat it in the next few days. So I've never done much of that. Yeah, interesting.
But then, so as you mentioned, what if you bought bacon on sale, let's say, and you bought 8 packages and threw them in your freezer to pull out? Then in that application, that's where you'd start taking a pounding on it.
Wow, cool. Cool. So, Tim, you sell, I mean, you're a fresh meat guy. You're part of a butcher shop. The reason that you go there is everything is fresh and custom cut. But you do have a whole freezer section that in there. And so what kind of items are you selling that are frozen versus fresh?
All of our seafood. The safety handbook for seafood is like a telephone book. So all that is frozen. We'll have a few, like during the wintertime, a few of our, like brats, for example, you're not selling as much. So we won't have all those flavors in the case all the time. So we'll take some of those and then we'll pack them in 4 packs and put them in the freezer. Ground venison, ground elk, things like that are items that we'll have in the freezer as well. Lamb, veal, items that aren't real quick sellers.
So one thing I noticed, I'm a huge Mexican food fan. And until 6 months ago, I didn't know you made chorizo, but I noticed your chorizo is in the freezer. Do you ever have that fresh?
Typically, the fresh chorizo we have is smoked. So that chorizo, the fresh chorizo typically, and if you want it, you know, we'll do anything special. So
right.
If you wanted fresh chorizo, we'll do that. So the stuff we put in the freezer is a bulk, just a ground, seasoned up raw chorizo.
Well, I have had that, and I would tell you that the freezing process didn't hurt it one bit because I was, and I shouldn't have been, but I was shocked at how good your chorizo. You know, I always say that the best butchers are Polish butchers, right? And you've proven that. But dude, You can make Mexican meat. It's so good. That chorizo you have is so spot on.
Thank you very much. And that product is a raw product. And if you have ground pork, you can turn that into any sausage. Breakfast sausage, sweet Italian, spicy Italian, chorizo. So that's the stuff we'll put in the freezer in 1-pound packs.
Hey, we're talking with Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats out on Remembrance Drive in Northwest Grand Rapids. And we're talking about freezer food and freezer meat. Now, Bob and I had a quick conversation about the refrigerator freezer that defrosts itself. Sometimes you mentioned, Tim, earlier that there's the gummy ice cream. But if I pull something out of there and it's got some freezer burn on it, do I need to get rid of the whole thing or can I cut that burn off? What's your thought about that?
My thought on that is your first loss is your best loss.
Okay.
If it's got freezer burn, just lose the whole thing. To try to trim it and save it, even if it was beef tenderloin, you know, it's still going to have that taste carries through, and it's not a very good taste. So you might as well just lose it, just throw it away.
So if people come into Sobey Meats, what kind of beer selection do you have?
Not as much Bud Light as we used to, I can tell you that.
Amen, brother. We talked about that in the first segment. You didn't even know that. Wow. Cool.
No, I didn't. May, can I even say that? You know, doggone tranny fluid.
Yeah, exactly. You got some old style, though. I know that. Maybe not as much as you used to have, but because I buy some of that. Yeah.
And I guess if we're putting a plug in for anybody else, guys that I know that were Busch Light or Bud drinkers are switching to Coors Light. So I told my guys, stock up on the Coors Light a little bit heavier.
Yeah. Well, that's always been a good go-to anyway. And I bet these other beer companies are sitting back going, oh, noted.
Yeah.
Yeah. There'll be some
bad
marketing
idea.
Jobs available.
Take that one off the table.
Yeah. Right. So your beer selection is pretty nice, but because of the size of your store, you can't be quite like Total Wine or Megabev yeah. in terms of all the beer you sell. But what are your top, let's say, four beers that go out of there?
This time of year, certainly Oberon is up there. Within, you know, Founders, I mean, obviously they have a lot of variety. So Founders does very well for us.
But Jop mentioned the other big seller, and that's Old Style, and that's one of my favorites anyway. So I think that's still G. Heilman. Tim Sobey, we are running out of time, but it's so nice of you to – we can tell you're off making deliveries today, and it's just nice of you to carve a little time out for us because we always enjoy talking with you, and I can't wait to see you in the near future.
Yeah, well, thank you guys very much, and have a good weekend. Fire those grills up, baby, and get that cold Old Style out there. Have a couple Dipsy Doodles while you're doing a flippy, flippy, sippy, sippy.
There you go. Good. We'll do it. All right. Thanks, Tim. We'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Bye. Tim Sobey, Sobey Meats on Remembrance Drive, Northwest Grand Rapids. If you've not been there, you're missing out. Get up there.
You're a loser.
Coming up next, we're going to just dive right back into the freezer. Maybe some wild game in your freezer. Who knows how it's going to go? Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys. That was Tim Sobey. He's always fun to talk to. We didn't even scratch the surface on what that guy knows about frozen meat and what to do with it. But his comment, Bob, I mean, when we talked about, you know, cut it off and save it, try to save it, or cook it for the dog, mm-hmm. one of the two, I think he took option B. Cook it for the dog. He didn't mm-hmm. say throw it away because it's unedible. He just said you're not going to want to eat it if you're right. looking for the flavor.
Right.
So that freezer burn is real, and it happens in your refrigerator that is frost free.
Yeah, and you know bacon has gotten ridiculously expensive.
Right.
So I can see why he would talk about the potential for freezer. But you know, I used to go to Menards and they have a little food section in the back.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would have crazy stupid cheap meat frozen, and I would get these big fat packs of Oscar Mayer bacon for like $4.
Yeah,
they're the 22-ounce packs, and I would buy 10 of them and throw them in the freezer, and I never noticed them tasting terrible.
Yeah,
but we go through bacon in our house like it's ridiculous.
Oh yeah. Yep. And you're supposed to be empty nesters now, but yeah. the nest is open and
yeah.
the seagulls keep flying back.
It's wonderful. Now, I'm batching it this weekend, by the way.
Speaking of a full house. Yeah. But I'm
all the girls in our family went out to the East Coast to go to a wedding. So I had to work. I couldn't go.
Sure.
Darn it.
Right.
Had to stay here.
Yeah. Your brother-in-laws aren't all coming over to have a bacon fest?
No, they're all at the wedding.
Oh.
So, no. We'll just leave that one alone.
Right.
Don't want to hurt any feelings.
No, there aren't any to hurt.
No,
it's all about bacon.
But we gave them a gift, and I sent the beauty of our family out there. So
yeah, there you go.
That's way better than sending us ugly guys out there.
Yep, I get it. But frozen game in your, now game, venison's probably one of the biggest ones that you'll find in there.
I think of you, and you love to shoot pheasant, and
right.
you always have some pheasant and duck in your freezer.
Right.
I mean, what have you run across when you cleaned out that coffin in your garage? What'd you find in there?
Didn't find any duck, but there were a couple pheasants in there, and they had been in there since like early January is all, because I went on a preserve hunt
oh.
and brought some home from there. But what we had done with those is we had just breasted them out. But they're so in effect they're skinless, boneless pheasant breast is what they are. So we didn't; they weren't in there too long. But when I use those, I use them the same as you would as a chicken breast. And honestly, they're a little different flavor, but not a tremendous amount.
No, they're good.
So, but what I would do is take those and I'm on a kebab kick right now because I just got done catering a party with a bunch of them. But I did a piece of the pheasant. A piece of white onion, another piece of pheasant, a piece of bell pepper, those little itty bitty bell peppers that you can do, and a third piece. And then I put them on the grill and again, just glaze them with something, a light, sweeter barbecue sauce after they've cooked. You know, you can tell it turns color, right? All foul goes on pink and it turns white when it's done cooking. So do it on one side, flip it over when I do it on the other. That's when I glaze it when the cooked side is up. And the raw side is down. I'm cooking that second side mm-hmm. of that. And they don't take long because there again, I think the key to a kebab, and I'm getting off track here, I realize, but is you cut the protein in the same size. You don't want big chunks of breast and little.
Not a lot of variance.
Little,
not a lot
right,
of variance.
Because they cook uneven then, and you'll get some that are overcooked. It's really important to use the same size of a cut. Doesn't matter what it is, your cut, whatever you want to do. But try to make them all the same size, then your kebabs will get done perfectly.
See, I think a lot of this freezer meat, it's a good opportunity to get your Instapot out or something that's a bit of a pressure cooker
mm-hmm.
and stew it. I mean, tenderize it, especially like if you've got venison roasts. Those machines are wonderful. I don't know whoever came up with the automatic pressure cooker, but God bless you because you've made my life a lot easier.
Yeah.
There's all those pieces of meat, like look at a rump roast.
Right.
Kind of a worthless piece of meat, in my opinion.
Well, it's the biggest working muscle in an animal. You know, everything drives from the back and as far as where the power comes from. So that rump roast is a muscle that gets used more than any. They tend to be a little bit tough. Rather than a piece of tenderloin. That's all I'm saying is just one of those, a strong working muscle can be a little more chewy.
Yeah, there's just no fat on it.
Right.
Yep. No marbling. Well, so for pheasant, I think you could do the same process, only I might look towards a soup.
Yeah. Yep, because again, you want moisture in it. You want it to be tender.
You could go an Asian flair with that thing for like a hot and sour. Using your pheasant. I mean, there's just so many uses you can take these proteins out, and you might say, yeah, it's too dry for me to grill, or yeah, it's kind of old, and I know it's not going to be up to par. But by the time you put it in a stew or a soup, heck, season it up and brown it, make tacos out of it.
Right. Yep. You can make dips too, like a big buffalo chicken dip or a buffalo pheasant dip.
I heard you're good at
dip.
That. Yeah,
yeah. I'm really good at making the dip, but I had a little catastrophe and lost a batch.
Well,
of
that's
it.
The problem with that old smoker is it does have so much black garp junk loaded up that when you bang it, we've ruined a lot of dishes.
Yeah,
on that thing.
Right. So to clarify, at a catering event, this is one of the learn your lesson
horror stories.
Right. Our smoker has four racks in it, and you pull a door up, and it's heavy. It's steel. It maybe weighs 20 pounds. I mean, it's no big deal, but it's a door you got to pull up. I had it in my hand, and a gust of wind blew, and it blew it out of my hand, and it came down and slammed shut. And it disrupted a bunch of patina inside the smoker, which rained into my food, and everything that was on there got ruined.
And that's the way it ended.
Right. So, those are the things that happen.
Anybody with a smoker's probably gone through that, haven't they?
Well, and ours is a door up above, yeah.
They all have doors, and think of the pellet smokers that are out there. I bet you guys are experiencing that for the first time because they just started smoking because somebody bought them a pellet grill.
Right.
And now they're saying, holy cow, it can rain black from the top of this.
And let me tell you about the pellet grill because I used mine to smoke the chicken for the buffalo chicken dip. And the pellet dust that comes off of there, I lost three chicken breasts and threw them away because the wind was blowing a little bit when I was doing it. And usually that, pellet creates ash, and there's a blower over top of your firebox in your pellet grill. So it blows that The pellets come down.
That's a great point.
And they make
that's a great point.
Go through the exhaust because it's micro dust.
It's in the air.
it's in the air. But I had wind that was pushing it back in. And there I opened my, because you don't look all the time when you're smoking, right? You know it's in there. And I had a probe in there to tell when it was done. I open it up. And because of the wind, everything is dusty.
Well, and that and I'm just like, validates several of the things we constantly say here. One thing I constantly say is beware of the pellet grill because you're going to get a lot of ash. But more importantly, have yourself a really great grilling space covered and have a spot where you can operate that thing. I know what you did. You kept yours in your garage and you just pulled it out in front of it to do your smoking.
Right.
And there's a lesson there. So if that's what you're doing, you might want to have some walls around that thing because the same thing's going to happen to you. Learn from Job.
Yep. And it's funny because I had my privacy fence on one side and the garage behind it. I was in the driveway, but I did. I just rolled it out of the garage.
It's still a big open area.
The wind was swirling right around that corner from the direction it came.
He created a twister.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk, we teach, we advise, and then we screw up.
And we get burned.
Right. Yeah. That's how this works.
It can happen to you, too.
Right. Yeah. So don't feel bad. But
I bet Conrad's even done some things like that from time to time when he's out. Mastering the hibachi.
No, he's when he's out watching his wife grill.
Ouch!
With
ouch!
The beer,
wow!
On the porch.
Wow!
Yeah.
It's a great memory.
I have so many jokes.
Sat too close to the smoker, my beer got warm.
Yeah, blew his robe up.
Oh, we got to be nice to Conrad. It's all good. But anyway, so there's all kinds of goodies out in that conversation. But it was. It's just, you never know. You live and learn every day. Things happen. You think you know what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, I had those two things happen and lost a bunch of product. So what do you do?
All been there.
Yeah.
So basically, we've covered a lot of frozen stuff. I can tell you I'm picking up a cow in a week.
Oh, really?
And I still have some left. So I will be definitely hosting some pretty big eats to get rid of a bunch of this food right now. But yeah, once it goes over the 1 year mark, I just really want to blow it out.
Right. Cook it up.
So this year I'm only keeping a quarter of that thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do the
whole
thing.
You going to keep any of the liver?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the heart.
Yeah. Right. Good for you, man.
Yep. The heart's good for Coney's.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the liver's good for my daughter's dog.
Right. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And get out there and fire up a grill. It's going to be beautiful today and again tomorrow. And it's going to get cold next week, but that'll come back too. So take care. Create a little grill envy in your neighborhood.
You can't say that.
I did.